And next we go to our latest installment of our occasional series, Americans Abroad. This one takes us to Mexico. And the story of sculptor and printmaker Elizabeth Catlett. Catlett left America decades ago, uninspired by what she considered to be racism everywhere and the itchy suspicions that she or her friends were subversive, maybe even communist. Among African-American artists of the 20th century, she stands out as one of the most influential. Her work is displayed in museums throughout the United States and in her adopted country. Her move came over 50 years ago, partly on a whim, and partly because as a woman and a minority, she saw little future for herself in the United States. NPR's Jerry Haddon talked to Elizabeth Catlett about art, race, and her long life abroad.
In a sun-drenched studio crammed with molds and finished sculptures, Elizabeth Catlett's long, wrinkled hands guide sandpaper gently over a plaster cast. The finished product will be a statue in bronze of an African-American woman, Catlett's favorite subject. The piece's destination, the lobby of a new building in downtown Washington. Half a century ago, it was the site of a landmark victory against discrimination.
Around 1953, it was a department store, Hex Department Store, and they refused Mary Church Terrell, a black woman, service in the lunchroom. So she picketed them, and she was 83 years old at the time. She took it to the Supreme Court and won, and that desegregated a lot of places in Washington.
Here in suburban Cuernavaca, an hour south of Mexico City, Catlett conceives and creates stunning figures of black people. In wood, stone, and metal, her sculptures portray dignity in their bold forms and in their strong countenances. Catlett came to Mexico in 1946, tired, she says, of being ignored by the white-dominated art world. It was the era of the great Mexican muralists, Diego Rivera, José Orozco, and David Siqueiros, and Catlett fell quickly in with them.
It was very exciting for me. I didn't realize, now that I look back on it, I didn't realize what a really, let's say, glorious epoch I was moving into. Because my husband, I met Francisco Mora in the workshop. We fell in love and got married, which was why I stayed in Mexico. He had studied with Diego.
Diego Rivera and his wife, the legendary painter Frida Kahlo, were famous for their politics as well as their art. Both were strident communists at a time when Mexico was receiving leftist dissidents from around the world. Catlett says though she didn't arrive as a political refugee, the group accepted her anyway as an artist, regardless of race.
As an artist, I couldn't speak good Spanish. I remember that the first, you know, they would have critiques on Friday nights. And I remember I would be sitting silently listening to everything until one night I said, "That's es muy interesante." I ventured out in Spanish and everybody applauded. It was like a big family, really.
Though not a communist, her close association with them alarmed the U.S. government. In the early 1960s, now a Mexican citizen, Catlett applied for a U.S. visa to visit her sick mother. She was denied.
I had a friend who was here, and she said, "Take my tourist card and go." And so I was packing, and my husband came home, and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm going to see my mother." And I said, "Well, what's going to happen?" He said, "You're going to be arrested." And my sister wrote me that they were looking for me. Immigration was looking for me at my aunt's house and at the hospital.
Catlett canceled her trip. And so, with the civil rights movement well underway, the artist who'd left her country in part because of racism ended up fighting it from afar through her work. She made prints of Malcolm X, contributed to exhibitions of black artists, and gained acclaim.
People say that I affected what was going on in the art in the States. I felt guilty being here, but I couldn't do anything about it.
She and her husband did take in the occasional young black man dodging the Vietnam draft. But as an artist, her main goal has been more social than political, to interest more blacks in art and get more black artists into museums. Today, her problems with the U.S. government are over. This year, she received a letter from the State Department informing her of her U.S. citizenship and asking her to pick up a passport. She does, in fact, maintain an apartment in Battery Park, next to where the World Trade Center tower stood. She's been back to New York once since the September 11th attacks, though saddened, she says, she has no plans to return.
The whole wave of patriotism was very annoying to me, riding in a taxi with seven flags in the windows and going into Chase, the big Chase Bank. There's a flag three stories high hanging on the wall. Didn't we love the United States before all this happened?
She spends most of her time sculpting alone, with commissions coming in constantly. Mexico, she says, keeps her inspired.
What gets me about the States is the lack of culture. People sitting watching television, the hysterical religious groups, the racism, the use of guns. It's absolutely disgusting what's going on in the States.
Catlett is 87 years old now and moves about her large house with the use of a cane. This February, her husband of 56 years passed away. In her studio, the dozens of sculptures of fellow African Americans are a constant reminder of what's been most difficult for her to give up by living abroad.
I miss being around black people. I really do. On this summer, when it was the first time I had, when I was by myself, I invited my friends to come down and stay with me. And I think I'm going to do it again this summer.
She'll also be back in the States for a quick visit this spring to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Sculptor Society. Jerry Haddon, NPR News, Cuernavaca, Mexico.